Let's remain standing for a few more moments. Hosea chapter 7. Hosea chapter 7. And we're going to read verses 8 through to 10. Hosea chapter 7, verses 8 through to 10. Amen, amen. Praise God. Amen. Has everyone got their Bibles here today? Praise God. Hosea chapter 7, verse 8 through to 10. The book of Hosea is about two people, Hosea and Gomer is the story there, but the story of Hosea and Gomer is a story about God's love for his people, Israel. In fact, Israel had turned their back on God, and this is what Hosea is about. And in this scripture we're about to read in Hosea verses 8 through to 10, God is talking about his love for his people, but also the fact that they had turned their back on him and were serving other gods. And so Hosea 7 verse 8 says, Ephraim, Israel, has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Everyone say, a cake not turned. You see, God is saying, Ephraim, you are not separating yourself from the world. I have called you unto myself. Israel, I have called you my children. But you're still mixing with the world. And God had told them, he said, I don't want you mixing with the world. He says, you're associating yourself with an idolatrous nation. He said, you're turning your hearts away from me. You're being unfaithful, but you're being corrupted. Verse 9 says, strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here. You're aging. Gray hairs are here and upon him, and he knoweth it not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all of this. God is saying, Israel, you're being unfaithful to me. He says this about them. He says, you're a cake not turned. Matthew chapter 7, you might not have time to turn there, but it's going to be on the screen. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we have cast out devils, and we have done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You see, God has called us out of darkness into his light. God, when he saved you from your sin, he called you to be faithful to him. And God's people, Israel in the Bible, God had delivered them. But we see in this scripture that they were not cutting themselves free from the world. They were still mixing with their old life. And God said to them, he said, you are a cake not turned. What an interesting way to describe a nation, a cake not turned. I want to preach about that today. I want to preach on this title, A Cake Not Turned. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, for your word. We need you to speak to us today, Lord God. Your word is powerful. And Lord Jesus, as we study your word and look into your word today, Lord God, I pray that you would search our hearts. Change us, oh God. Help us to leave this place, oh God, Lord, with a new passion and a new vision and a new dedication and commitment and faithfulness to you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. A cake not turned. The book of Hosea is a book that contains lots of great poetry. Yet here in this scripture that we've just read, it's very interesting because it's not really poetry, but here we have an illustration from the kitchen. God says, Ephraim, he says, Israel, you are a cake not turned. And as I read that, it's such an intriguing scripture because you've got to understand what it means. Because back in the day, they had these mud ovens or brick ovens, as it were. There would be a fire in the corner of the oven. And so they would put the cake in and the cake would cook. But can you imagine what would happen to the cake if you didn't turn it? What would happen to the cake if you didn't turn the cake in an oven like this? It would cook on one side and be all doughy on the other side. It would be overcooked on one side, maybe charred or maybe burnt on one side, and then doughy on the other side, not cooked. And God said to Ephraim, he said, you are a cake not turned. He says, you're well cooked on one side, but you're doughy on the other. He says, you're uncooked on the other side. He says, I have brought you out of wickedness. I have delivered you, but still, you're a half-baked nation. You're a half-baked Christian. You're like a cake that's not turned. Half of your life is living for God, but then half, you're still serving the world. You're still unfaithful to me. And God says, you are a cake not turned. And so today I want to talk about commitment to God. I want to talk about consecration. I want to talk about us as Christians being faithful to God and living that holy life. Everyone say holy. Holiness means to be separate from. That's why we call this the Holy Bible. It's called the Holy Bible because it's separate from every other book in the world. It's not just the book, it's the Holy Bible. Holiness. And so the change in our life happens when we fall in love with Jesus. And anybody knows that when you fall in love, your life changes. You think about your spouse, you think about, say, your girlfriend, and you'll do anything because you're in love. Everyone say in love. You're in love. And so this new experience that you have, this new love that you have, it changes your life. You begin to separate yourself from other people unto your new love. That's the way love is. And when we serve God, we don't serve God because there's a list of rules. But we serve God and we live for God and we are faithful to God and our life changes, not because of the rules, but because of our love for God. Everything in our life, everything in our lifestyle happens. Why? Because we love God. First and foremost, we build our life, we build our Christian walk on a love for Jesus Christ. We say, some may say, well, why don't you do that? And you say, well, I don't do that because I'm a Christian. I love Jesus and he saved me and he saved me out of my sin. I love him too much to live that life. And why don't you talk like that? And why don't you go there? All of those reasons are because now I am living a life that is faithful to God. We call it consecration. It's about dedicating our life to worship and serving God. Why? Because we love God. Now, if you are saved, you will love God. If you are headed towards a hell and now you're heading towards heaven, you thank God and you have a love for God. You want to serve God. And if you love God, you will be faithful to God. Everybody say faithfulness. There will be faithfulness in your heart. And so we need to be awakened today, I believe, to the need to be faithful, the need to live a consecrated life. Now, how many people would be willing to put up their hand today and say that you've bought an imitation at some time in your life? An imitation, like imitation clothing, like when you go to Asia, you can get imitation clothing. Or maybe you found a car part, and you know, you could get it for $100, but the original was $1,000, but you got it for $100. How many people have ever bought an imitation? I'll lift my hand. Look, everyone's kind of a bit shy, okay? Imitations. When I first went to Thailand, I was amazed, you know, because I was in a high school and all the brand names were there. Nike, Reebok, you could buy anything for a dollar. I'm like, wow. So I bought all these clothes, you know, and you got to be careful because sometimes the Nike tick goes the wrong way. And so I bought all this imitation clothes and it looked good when I first put it on, brother. But when I took it home and after the first wash, it shrunk really funny. One of the sleeves shrunk and the other sleeve didn't shrink. And eventually, the stitching came apart. Imitations. We know what it's like. You go on the internet and they tell you at the car dealership that you need a new part. It's going to cost you $1,500. I'm like, man, that's a lot of money. I'm sure I could find a cheaper part than that. So I go on, and let's say we're buying a rotor for the car, and I'm like, wow. So I went into the guy, I said, hey, I found one on the internet on eBay for $200. You're selling it for $800. He said, but that's not the real thing. He said, that's a copy. He said, you're going to get as much miles out of that. It's going to break a lot easier. And that is the way it is with imitations. Now, I don't want to preach an imitation. I don't want to be a pastor that preaches imitations, especially when it comes to consecration. Because we got to have the real thing. It can't just be an imitation. Because unless you are fully faithful and consecrated to God, it's just an imitation. It's not going to last. And so we can preach, yes, God loves you. God wants to bless you. The favor of God can be on your life. But unless I preach the whole truth that we've got to live a life that's faithful to God, I'm selling you short. Because unless you're consecrated, it's not going to last. And it doesn't take long. For instance, with a building, a lot of the money, you could spend a third of your budget before you even get out of the ground. Happened with our church, with all the foundations, with all of the reinforcement in the foundations. And if you don't take the time to lay the foundation properly, the building starts to crumble. In the harsh weather, the building starts to break. And in an earthquake, everything begins to move and shake. And you wish that you had done it right the first time, that you had built on a strong foundation. And let me tell you, just like there is a high cost to using imitation products, just like there is a high cost to using cheap building products, there is also a high cost to cheap consecration. Being a Christian, let me tell you, being a Christian is going to cost you something. Being a Christian is not just going to cost you something. Being a Christian is going to cost you everything. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus made it very clear. It's not good enough just to have a cheap consecration. And God said to Israel, he says, you've got cheap consecration. You're half-baked. You're cooked on one side and doughy on the other. He said, you're a cake not turned. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, God is calling us to recommit ourselves to a life of faithfulness and consecration to God. And somebody say amen. And so it's like someone wanting to be married. I want to be married, but I don't want to be faithful. Many Christians, they want salvation, but they don't want consecration. They want to be saved, but they don't want to be faithful. They want to escape hell, but they're not in love with the God of heaven. Just give me enough God so I can escape hell. And this is challenging preaching today, but I don't want to be one of those preachers that preaches cheap consecration or low commitment. But let me tell you, God requires everything of us. If you're going to make it to heaven, it's going to cost you everything. Look at Jesus' attitude towards prospective disciples. He tells them exactly the opposite of what a lot of preachers would tell you today. In Luke chapter 9, verse 59, we read it here. He gave that rich young ruler, he gave him a shock. He didn't give him a massage. He didn't try to entice him. He gave him the shock treatment. We read here in Luke chapter 9, verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said to the Lord, he said, let me go first and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid farewell to everybody at my house. And Jesus said to him, he said, I'm calling for a complete commitment. He says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Nobody who is trying to look forward and look back at the same time. Nobody that is half-baked. Nobody who's burnt on one side and doughy on the other is fit for the kingdom of God. You see, God is calling us to commitment. The hardest place to live for a Christian is on the fence. I believe that there comes a point in your life that there is a threshold. Everyone say a threshold. And once you cross that threshold, I experienced it in my teens. Once you cross that threshold, it does become easy to live for God. It's hard to sit on the fence. The Bible says that there is an abundant life in Christ Jesus. But the Bible also says that there are pleasures in the world for a what? A season. Do seasons last forever? No, and a lot of us here can testify that we found pleasure in the world for a season, but the season didn't last. And at the end of the season, we were left empty, we were left without anything, we were left destitute. But there is an abundant life in Christ Jesus. There is a life of blessing in Christ Jesus. There is a life of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. There is an abundant life. But the hardest life to live is a life on the fence. When you're living with one foot in the world and one foot in the church, that is the hardest life to live. Let me tell you why. You'd be better off, like the Bible says, that you are hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, lukewarmness is sitting on the fence. Now, if you go and live in the world, let me tell you, I'm not going to say that you don't have any fun in the world. You can enjoy some pleasure there for a season. You're going to have some fun, but it's all going to just dry up. It's going to be nothing. It's going to leave you hurting. It's going to leave you in despair. And so, yeah, you can enjoy that in the world for a season. And if you live for God fully, you can enjoy the abundant life in Christ Jesus. But if you're sitting on the fence, all right, this is what happens to someone that's sitting on the fence. They go to the world to do the worldly things. And they're out in the nightclub. And all along, they're thinking, I shouldn't be here. This doesn't feel right. And they can't even enjoy the pleasure of the world for a season because their other foot's in the church. And so they come to church on Sunday. They walk into church and everyone's praising and worshiping God. And they're like, oh, man, I really wish I was out with my friends. And you know, this is cramping my style. And so they don't have the best of the world and they don't have the best of God. They've got nothing. They're living on the fence. They're half-baked. Cooked on one side, uncooked on the other. Living with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. It's the worst life to live. And God said, I would rather you hot or cold. But if you are lukewarm, I will. It is the lukewarmness that makes God sick. And I believe that there is a threshold. When you can get over that threshold and say, I'm leaving the world behind. I don't want any attachments to the world. I'm not going to mix myself with the filthiness of this world. And you say, I'm living for God. There becomes a threshold. When you cross it, it becomes easier to serve God. But when you're living in the world, when you're sitting on the fence, it's a hard place to live. We go to the next slide in John chapter 6, verse 53. There came a day when Jesus was teaching and he said unto them, listen, look at this. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Jesus is calling for a full commitment. He says, unless you're willing to eat of the flesh and drink of the blood, you have no part in me. You have no life in you. They were alarmed. Oh, that's a crazy scripture. That's a crazy saying, Jesus. I mean, that's really awkward, you know, calling us to eat your flesh and drink your blood. That is a crazy scripture. That's frightening. And we know what those words mean today. You can study it for yourself. Jesus wasn't saying, unless you eat me up. He was talking figuratively here. He was talking about commitment. We understand the spiritual side today, but they didn't have such an understanding. And they'll be like, oh, that's weird, Jesus. That's really weird. That's really awkward. I'm not following you anymore. And look what happens. Verse 66 says, and from that time, many disciples went back. And they walked with him no more. They said, Jesus, what you're requiring of us is too much. We're not willing to pay that price. We're not willing to be that committed. We're not willing to be that consecrated. We're not willing to be that faithful. And they walked away from Jesus. Yeah, no doubt they liked the healings. Yeah, Jesus was healing people. Yes, he was multiplying the five loaves and the fish and you know, all of those things. And Jesus was putting a show on. But now Jesus says, he says, I want a full commitment. And they walked away. And so what did Jesus do? Did he say, oh, hang on, guys. I'm sorry about that, you know. Sometimes I just say things, you know. Can you come back, you know, please? Pretty please. I'll tone it down. I won't preach so strong. I'll trade that consecration for a cheap consecration. I know I was talking about a full commitment, but now I'm happy just with your half-committed life. Come back. Is that what he said? Did he chase after them and say, come on, I'll allow you to come back if you're half-baked and a cake not turned? No, he didn't say that. He looked at them in verse 67. You can see it for yourself. He looked at them. Those that were with him, and he looked at everyone else who's walking away. There were some with him. He looked at those that were there and he said, are you going to go as well? Are you going to follow the rest of them? Are you going to walk away? And Peter didn't understand the whole flesh and blood stuff, but his answer settled it for all. In John chapter 6, verse 68, Simon Peter answered and said to Jesus, Jesus said, are you going to go as well, Peter? And Peter looked at him. He said, no, Jesus. He said, Lord, where else can we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. There is no option in my mind, Jesus. There is no other life that I can live. I am wholly devoted. I am consecrated. There is nowhere else I can turn. And so we must be committed, consecrated to say, oh God, whatever it takes, I'm willing to do it. Even if I don't understand everything, God, I want to submit to your will. Not my will, but thine be done. You will never enjoy living for Jesus until you live for him. Listen carefully, with your whole heart. Everyone say, my whole heart. My whole heart, totally devoted to Jesus Christ. I'm not going to keep you long today, but if we go to 2 Kings chapter 17, there's a really interesting portion of scripture. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 24. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon. So groups of people were being transported. And from Kathah and from Avar and Hamath and from Sepharvaim and places, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. So they were settled in Samaria, replacing the children of Israel who had been taken captive in Babylon, all right? They possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And in verse 25 it says, and so it was at the beginning of their dwelling that they feared not the Lord. Everyone say they didn't fear God. So they're there. God has put them there. Instead of Israel, he puts them there, and they didn't fear God. They had no respect for God. And look what the Lord sent. Look what the Lord sent. Therefore, the Lord sent lions among them, and some of them got eaten up. They didn't worship the one true living God. They were half-baked. And God sends some lions amongst them. And in verse 26 and verse 27, the king of Assyria decided to bring an Israelite priest. Okay, now we need to bring a priest back. We need him to come and preach to us. We need to get him to teach us how to worship and how to live for God. But even after the priest was preaching, they continued to live their old life and worship their own gods. They worshiped the idols. They even offered their children in offerings. And in verse 33, even after the priest came, in verse 33 it says, they feared the Lord and they what? Continue to serve their own gods. Half baked, a cake not turned. Half of them was cooked and half of it was doughy. They feared the Lord, but they served their own gods after the manner of the nations where they came from. And so although they worshiped the Lord, they continued to follow their own gods. They would not listen. They would continue their former practices, their old life. And they were new. While these new residents were worshiping God, yeah, they were coming to church, but they had this other part of their life where they were still worshiping their idols. And verse 41 says, so these nations feared the Lord
and they served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so they do unto this day. So Israel had been evicted from the land of promise. God had warned them for hundreds of years that if they didn't repent, if they didn't get right with God, that they would be taken captive out of their native land. But they continued to harden their hearts. They continued to rebel against God. They continued to think, you know what? I can live this double life. I can live this life where I serve my own gods and the idols of the past and continue to serve the one true living God. But one day they woke up. And they realize, hang on, this serving God thing is serious. I got to be serious about serving God, because they realize that even their children and their friends were being eaten by lions. The city streets were not safe anymore because God was judging them. And so they looked at, why is this happening? Why has God sent lions amongst us? Why has God sent lions? Why is this happening? And someone spoke up and said, this land that we are living is not our land. This is the land of Israel. The Israelites have a God. They call him Jehovah. We don't know anything about him. So they said, we need a priest to come and tell us about him. But even after they found out about God, they still served their idols. They feared the Lord and they served their own God. They heard the truth. Everyone say the truth. But they didn't have enough moral fortitude. They didn't have enough integrity to say, we want to worship this God and this God alone. Half-baked. We fear the Lord, but we're going to keep doing our own thing. We're going to keep serving our own gods. I'm not willing to break away from my old life. And I wonder if there's somebody here today that God is speaking to. You're trying to live that life. Yes, you can see why you need to live for God. Yes, you know that you need to serve God. But you're still holding on to those old things in your old life. Those old idols, those old ways. I want to tell you that God is not coming back for a church that is half-baked. God is not coming back for a cake that hasn't been turned. God is coming back for a church that is holy, devoted, and consecrated and faithful and holy, because it is a way of holiness that leads to heaven. And so some of us, I picture, you know, we're there and we want to live for God, and it's like, you know, it's coming summertime now, but we're like putting our foot in the pool. Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. Let me tell you today, the best life is to live, just throw yourself into God. Give your all to God. Live for him with everything that's inside of you. Holy, devoted, and consecrated to God. The Bible says that they feared God, but they served their own idols. If you were to ask them, who do you fear? They would say, we fear Jehovah. Who do you believe in? They would say, we believe in Jehovah. Who is the God of Israel? They say, yes, Jehovah is the God of Israel. So how are you living? Well, basically, we haven't really changed how we're living. We don't really have the willpower to break away from our old habits and our old lives. We're just living the way we used to live. You may be able to say, I fear the Lord and I believe in the Lord. But the real question is not that you fear the Lord and that you believe in the Lord. The real question is, what does your life say? Are you a cake not turned? Are you that half-baked Christian? David said in Psalm chapter 27 and verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell. Everyone say one thing. One thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You can worry, you can fret, you can get ulcers, you can be anxious, oh, just because you've never made up your mind. But let me tell you, the time that you made up your mind and say, God, I want to serve you. God, I'm not leaving you. In spite of what happens, God, I'm going to be faithful and consecrated to you. Let me tell you, God will begin to show up in your life and you will experience that abundant life in Christ Jesus. I don't want to sell you short today. I don't want to sell you an imitation, because God requires complete consecration and commitment. Just like I was sold short with the $1 shirt, I thought I could have something cheap and look the part when I went to school with that Nike shirt, you know. It wasn't long that the imitation began to show up. And preaching like this makes us feel uncomfortable.
It's going to cost you something. Yeah, being a Christian is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your consecration. It's going to cost you to live a holy life and to be separate from God. I've come to preach today, don't be a cake not turned. God, I give you my whole life. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. David said in Psalm chapter 73, whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. God, I don't want anything else in this world. I've got nothing else. There's nothing else I desire. I want to serve God with my whole heart. Somebody say amen. And so the children of Israel were a cake not turned. We read here in Kings that they wanted just enough God to keep the lions away. And some of us, that's kind of where our attitude is. We want just enough God so we can make it to heaven. But God is calling us to consecrated lives. Some of us need to stop putting our toe in the water. And let me tell you, the water is fine. Come on, jump on in. Give your life completely to Jesus. You got to make up your mind. There is power in a made up mind. Maybe you've been coming to church for a long time. And you can feel the presence of God. And one of the most important things in sharing the gospel is to tell somebody that it's going to cost them something. Because a lot of people, they want to serve God for all the blessings and all the favor and all these things. And then as soon as the Christian life gets hard, they're like, I don't want anything to do with this. I thought it was going to be easy. You know why? Because they were sold a cheap consecration. There's a story about a plane, and as all the passengers were getting on the plane, they were handing out parachutes. And they get giving all the passengers parachutes as they got on. And they gave them this parachute and said, here is this parachute. And as the passengers were getting on, and they said, what's the parachute for? And the air hostess said, well, this parachute is going to make your life really, the flight really comfortable. Oh, all right. So they took the parachute. They put the parachute on and they went up and they found their seat. And they're sitting in their seat on the plane with a parachute on their back. The musicians can come. They're sitting there with a parachute on their back. And it's about an hour into the flight. They're like, this is really awkward and really uncomfortable. Oh, man, this thing on my back. But, you know, the air hostess said that if I wear this parachute, that my flight is going to be more comfortable. And so after a little while, they're like, this thing, it's not true. Life isn't, this parachute hasn't made my flight any more comfortable. So what do you think they're going to do with the parachute? They're going to take it off. They're going to say, it's not true. It doesn't make my flight more comfortable. And see, this is where people are sold a cheap consecration. They say, listen, if you live for God, you're going to be blessed and life is going to be easy. It's not going to cost you much. You know, just raise your hand and say, I believe in Jesus. And then suddenly you can be saved and everything is going to be blessed and you're going to have a blissful life. They're like, wow, okay. So they put it on. And then when they realize, oh, this Christian life is going to cost me something. Oh, it is true. I have to take up my cross. And there's going to be times as a Christian that I'm going to have to deny myself. And they're sitting there because they've been sold a lie. And they're on the plane of life and they're like, oh, this living for Jesus was a lot harder than that person told me. I thought he was all about blessings and favor and big bank accounts and successful relationships and lots of friendships and prosperity. I thought that's what life was all about, and being a Christian. And because they're being sold a cheap imitation, they take it off. And a lot of Christians turn back because they were sold a cheap consecration. I'm preaching today that we are not to be a cake half turned. God wants us to live wholeheartedly and completely for Him. Who is God speaking to today? That person that is on the edge of the pool with one toe in the water, not quite decided whether they want to live for Jesus, you know? Maybe you're that person that says, I just want enough God just to keep the lions away. I would just want enough God so I can get to heaven. But let me tell you, God wants everything. He says, choose you this day who you will serve. Will you serve the gods of this world or will you serve the one true living God? Make up your mind. It's time to make up our minds, brothers and sisters. We're going into a holiday season, and sometimes a holiday season can be a time of much temptation. Sometimes we're not in the house of God as often as we usually are. Sometimes we're not in prayer meetings, and our prayer life and our devotion changes because our routine changes. But you've got to have a backbone. You've got to have a commitment to God that's going to make you through this season. Let's all stand across this place. Don't be, as the Bible says, don't be a cake not turned. God doesn't want people who have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. God wants us to be devoted to Him. Let's lift our hands all across this place and just receive what God has spoken to us. Lord Jesus, we love You, Lord God. Lord, we want to live a life totally devoted and consecrated to You. Lord Jesus, we give You our life today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh God, help us, oh God. Lord, to give everything to You, to put everything in Your hands, to be faithful to You in every part of our life, oh God. Lord, to come out of the world, oh God, and to live for You. Lord Jesus, let a love for You drive us. Give us a new passion for You, God. Give us a new passion to serve You with our whole hearts, oh God. Lord, because we know, Lord, that You've never wanted a people that is not completely consecrated to You. So, Lord, help us, oh God, to take up our cross today. Help us to deny ourselves and to live for You. Hallelujah. Come on, just lift our hands. Let's just pray just a moment. Lord, we love You, Jesus. We love You, Lord. Hallelujah. Speak to my heart, God. Hallelujah. If there's a backslider in this house today, God is speaking to you. God is calling you back. Be like that prodigal son who makes his way back to the Father's house. Is there a prodigal here today? Maybe not a prodigal on the outside, nobody knows, but really on the inside of your heart, you're a prodigal. Your heart is far away from God, far away from the Father's house. Let me tell you, God is speaking to you today. God is speaking today. Lord, I love You, Jesus.